And it was a busy week last week in the Nebraska legislature. Senator Jacobson, as you can attest to, a lot of committee hearings. We're kind of at that point now where we're going to have a lot of time spent in those committee hearing rooms. And you even served as the chair of a committee hearing early last week when Senator Slama was absent for a very exciting reason in Washington. But I thought you did a very good job at facilitating that meeting, Mike.
Well, thank you. I've watched it quite a bit, but I was elected vice chair of the banking committee, and so the vice chairs do get a workout. If the chair's not there for some reason, you run the committee, and then if the chair has to present a bill to your committee, then you take over, and they have to sit on the sidelines while that bill is discussed by others, so they can't be in the chair at that time. So you do get a little practice along the way, but going to get pretty busy now over the next 2 weeks. We go in at 9 o'clock this morning and we check in. There's a couple of benign LRs, just some legislative resolutions that recognize different people for awards. It should be pretty simple.
Cool.
Then we'll adjourn until tomorrow, and then we'll go to committee hearings, and committee hearings started really as soon as we adjourn this morning, and they'll run all day. So it'll be morning hearings and afternoon hearings. And they'll run all this week and all of next week. And the goal is to try to get as many bills heard as we possibly can. And then we'll start having floor debate in 2 weeks. And so then a lot of these bills that got passed in committee will be coming to general file. If they're priority bills, they will be heard first. And the speaker will determine what he wants there. There will be some consent calendar bills, meaning non-controversial bills, that will likely be heard as well when we start up again. There's going to be several controversial bills that will going to be heard in committee this week. That's going to be LB 626, which is the heartbeat bill. That hearing is this week. Those the voter ID bill, it's going to be heard this week. So those will be, and then there's an education bill also, that all three of those will be they'll be controversial. There'll be a lot of opinions on it, but then those bills will be ready to come to the floor. And you can expect when they come to the floor, things will get pretty contentious at that time. But From my perspective, I know they did have the LB 77 bill, which would be constitutional carry. That hearing was last week. So we're getting a lot of the hearings out of the way. But I think we'll still see a lot of what we saw so far. We've gotten a pretty good taste that there'll be a huge push to try to slow the process down, view as many bills or hear as many, a few bills as possible. Simply that's the way, if you're in the minority, that's how you maybe keep stuff from getting done. So it'll be an interesting session this year.
And Senator Jacobson, you said these committee hearings can go all day and some late into the evening as well. And LB 77 is an example of that. And this is Senator Brewer's bill that you are a co-sponsor of, actually the first co-sponsor of, right?
That's correct. You know, and again, what constitutional carry is, just as a reminder to people, is that you're required to get a permit to buy a handgun. And if you get a permit and pass the background checks and all of those things that go with getting a handgun, you could buy a handgun and you're allowed to open carry that gun. That means it must be visible at all times. If, however, you conceal that gun in any way, put a jacket on so it covers up the gun in a holster, put it in a purse or a satchel, put it in the console of your car, well, now it would be concealed, and then you need a separate concealed carry permit, which people have spent between $200 and $300 to take training to get a concealed permit. Now, you don't need the training to buy the gun, but you need the training to conceal it, and that just seems kind of odd. So there's Nebraska is one of the few states has not yet passed constitutional carry. Constitutional carry just simply says you do not need to get an additional permit to conceal a handgun if you have a permit to buy the handgun to begin with, and in order to carry it concealed within the state of Nebraska. You go across state lines, you need a concealed carry permit. So that's really what the bill's about.
And, of course, last week, Senator Jacobson, Governor Pillen gave his first State of the State address as well in the state capitol. You, of course, were in attendance for that. And what were your thoughts, Senator Jacobson?
Well, it was a very good address. Governor Pillen, used a teleprompter, but I thought he delivered both of his addresses very, very well, and he's really getting the hang of things. He's a very genuine individual. You know, he's very grounded. Grew up on a farm, is very, very supportive of agriculture. When you look at his agenda, he wants to limit growth in state spending at 1.3%. That's very aggressive. He's also, however, wanting to use the dollars in the rainy day fund that have been built up because of all the stimulus dollars and the taxes on that. And his priorities are education. He wants to put $1 billion into a future fund that will be used to guarantee that we can pay for the changes in TEOSA, which would give $1,500 to every student or to the districts for every student that they have. So the unequalized districts, which are most of them outside of North Platte in District 42, would get $1,500 per student, plus some additional funding for special education, and the equalized districts would continue to get what they have today. So it would be the first step in terms of really overhauling TEOSA. He also is very focused on tax relief. All of us are. I think our focus there would be to accelerate the tax cuts that were passed last year. So we passed last year a bill that would eliminate Social Security tax on Social Security income, and it would be phased in over the next 3 years. A bill that's in the legislature now that would be part of what the governor is supporting would be to accelerate that to where this would be the last year you'd pay any taxes on Social Security income, and in 2024 you would not pay any taxes on Social Security income. It would also lower the highest rate of income tax, and ultimately it would go down to 3.99%, which would actually just put us in line with Iowa and Kansas, and of course South Dakota and Colorado. And keep in mind that South Dakota and Wyoming do not have a state income tax at all. And then there's a lot of discussion about how to lower property taxes, and particularly property taxes for ag land. We will have at least the same amount of property tax reductions as there would be in the income tax. We're trying to push. There's a couple of areas out there. One's argument is to lower the valuation on farmland from 75 to as low as 40. And then there are those arguing to put it based upon income. I'm waiting to see the details of those, because when I look at an income-based, I like the concept, but I want to know what the numbers look like. At the end of the day, I want real property tax relief for farmers and ranchers, or I want to stick with the program we've got and lower the percentage of that will be taxed at, so that we know for certain we're going to get real property tax reductions. A lot of other concepts that go around that, but his main pushes were really education, strengthening law enforcement and their funding, and also the educational and tax relief. So those are the things that he primarily highlighted. A number of bills that have been dropped in the legislature are dealing with those issues. I've signed on to some of them that I'm comfortable with. The others, I'm waiting to see what the details are, and then hope to see them amended to where they would get the real benefits that we're looking for.
District 42, Nebraska State Senator Mike Jacobson joining us for our weekly legislative update here on KODY's Mugs in the Morning. Senator Jacobson, any of your bills going to be in committee hearing in the near future, sir?
I've got a couple of bills in one today and tomorrow, relatively easy cleanup bills. My micro TIF bill will be heard. Also, I'm going to be. It's been slated, the micro TIF bill, and then a bill that I introduced to allow the mayor to vote to break a tie, and so those have been scheduled as well. And then my two-person crew bill has been pushed out to the first week of March, and so that bill will be heard the first week of March. I would really encourage people to circle that on your calendar. I believe it's March 7th is the date for that particular hearing. And then we've also scheduled, it's not been published yet, but I should see later this month the Halsey Camp bill that Senator Brewer agreed to co-sponsor with me, and that will be heard as well. Getting a lot of good feedback, particularly on the Halsey Camp bill. A lot of people want to testify. A lot of people care about that. And so I'm hoping we're going to get the funding necessary to make that happen. This is actually coming through my committee, which is I serve on the Natural Resources Committee. So we would, I assume we'll get that bill passed through committee, go to the floor. Then it'll have to have an A bill attached to it, meaning an appropriations bill. And then that's when we'll have to get approval from the Appropriations Committee to fund it. And that'll be the dicey part because they've got a lot of requests for funding. As usual, you get about four times the request for the dollars that you have.
Senator Jacobson, can we talk about LB 33 a little bit more? I know we've mentioned on the air several times, including just a minute ago, but this is that bill that would change some of the powers for mayors, and this is a bill that was inspired by the city of North Platte, I believe.
Yeah, it really was. You know, there was a lot of confusion at one point. I believe it kind of dealt a little bit with the rec center vote, and there was another vote where we had someone missing. I think that might have been when former Sheriff Carmen was not there, and we were missing people, and so it was a question then as to can the mayor vote to break a tie, and under what terms can he do that? And the statutes were really not very clear. If you read through them, I know I read through them, and it was like, yeah, I understand why you'd be scratching your head saying, well, really, when can the mayor vote? And so I worked with the League of Municipalities, and actually Lane Grothis, working through the league, brought the problem to them and said, sure, be nice to clean this up. So the bill just really clears that up and makes it abundantly clear when the mayor can vote to break a tie. There are times when you have what's called a supermajority requirement, meaning that you have to have like two-thirds of the voters to be able on the council to vote in favor to pass it. The mayor would not be able to vote to make up that supermajority. He can only break the ties. So that's the other thing that we want to keep in mind. So the league and the mayors across the state were not looking for new powers. They were just looking to make it clear as to when it is appropriate for the mayor to be able to break a tie.
And the bill that we talked about a minute ago, Senator Jacobson, having to do with the two-person crew, will that be on the TNT committee on March 6th?
Yes, that's the plan, is it will be a TNT committee bill. I'm hoping, I was pushing early on to try to get as early a hearing as possible on that bill, because as you know, we're going to get very busy down here, and so it's a matter of where do you use your priority designation. That is one bill, of course, I'm seriously considering using my priority on, and part of it's going to just depend upon how well it does through committee, where I think we are with the votes, and if we've got the votes or believe we can get the votes to get it to the finish line, then it will likely be my priority bill. Obviously, the Halsey replacement is also a high priority bill for me, so I'm watching that as well. So those are the two top candidates at this point for my priority designation, and it'll just kind of depend on how they do through committee and whether offering that priority designation will get them kicked on to the finish line.
And Senator Jacobson, a lot of conversation around the state capitol last week on school choice. Of course, this week is Catholic Schools Week, and you have one of the largest in the state within your district. So where do you stand on some of this conversation, Senator?
Well, I'm supportive of being able to, and this would be a bill that Luann Linehan has brought several times, which is it's a tax credit for those who would make donations to a private school for scholarships for low to moderate income children. Her bill is focused in that area. You would, if you made the contribution, it would go into their foundation, and then they would have to use that money for low to moderate income students. You would not be able to direct who the money went to if you were the donor. All you can do is make the contribution. If you make the contribution, you can get up to $10,000 a year that you contribute as a state income tax credit as opposed to a deduction. So it would be very lucrative for people to do that. The state would, I think, be limited to $25 million a year in total credits that would be allowed in any one year in terms of the state's expense. So basically what would happen there is it would not be taking any money away from the public school system. They would still get their TEOSA dollars with this significant increase in what would be happening in TEOSA. I would say, however, the public schools, there would be a 3% annual revenue cap, meaning you cannot generate more revenue at the public school level than 3% a year above and beyond what you'd be receiving in TEOSA formula dollars. But what we're trying to do is to balance this to where you can provide the ability for children who can't afford to go to a private school, to go to a private school if their parents choose to send them there, and still adequately fund the public school system as well. We've got an outstanding public school system throughout District 42, but we also have very good private schools. So I think what we're trying to do is create some parity between the two systems and allow parents a choice. And so I'm supporting both.
Anything else you'd like to add this morning, Senator Jacobson?
I would just tell you that if you want to get engaged, watch the bills. I would tell you there's also a voter ID bill that'll be heard this week. You can look up the bills on the chamber website, or on the chamber website, on the legislative website, and you can read the bills themselves, the introduced copies, and you can also read the amendments. I would say, particularly on voter ID, that there's going to be a white copy, which is a white copy amendment, that'll be brought, and there's several modifications that are being proposed to that bill by the introducer, Julie Slama. And so you're certainly it would be worth your time. You can to get on and watch those committee hearings because we expect a large crowd on all of those bills. In fact, they're expecting that they'll probably fill the hearing room with proponents, let them speak for an hour. They leave, bring the opponents in, they speak for an hour, and then bring in neutral testifiers at the end, and so they're expecting big crowds down here. So if you want to get engaged, come down or write or send something in writing. But we do pay attention to that.
And Senator Jacobson, how can folks reach out to you directly as our District 42 Senator if they want to do so during this busy session?
Sure. You can give me a call at 402-471-2729, or you can email my office at mjacobson with an O, so mjacobson at leg.ne.gov. So mjacobson at leg.ne.gov.
And of course,
my staff gets that. I try to respond to emails either the same day or the next day. So we'd like to hear from you.
And, of course, folks can also see you on the North Platte Area Chamber and Development Corporation's Zoom every Thursday morning at 8 o'clock. Folks can attend that virtually on Zoom, or they can stop by the chamber office to have that dialogue with you as well. It's a good opportunity for some dialogue. You had some conversation with Ryan Purdy from Mid Plains Community College the past couple of weeks, and a little bit of dialogue as well with Ivan Mitchell from Great Plains Health last week.
Yeah, and I look forward to that. I think it's a way to really ask me directly what you want to hear and communicate to me the nuances of issues that you have. So I want to continue to try every avenue possible. And I would also say along your listing area, if there are villages, we're going to have some recess days coming up. In fact, this weekend, I think next Monday is a recess day. So I do plan to spend a long weekend in North Platte. If anyone's interested in talking to me and meeting with me, I would be happy to do that. And so just get a hold of my office and let me know, and I'd certainly make every effort to try to get in touch with you and come and meet with a group and meet with you one-on-one.
Well, Senator Jacobson, as always, we appreciate the time. Best of luck this week, and safe travels back to the district this weekend, sir.
Thank you.